Okay. Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of the podcast. My name is Lewis.
I'm Caleb.
And yeah, this episode of the podcast, we have something special. We have the head owner, or I guess the owner and head roaster of Thankfully Coffee, Alex Schatz here. Yeah, we have, say hi, Alex.
Hey, how's it going, everyone?
It's sweet.
The head owner.
The head owner, the head owner
The head
himself,
owner, head
the head
roaster.
owner, father and husband himself, Alex.
Yeah.
Alex
And yeah,
Schatz.
we have a coffee from them today. We're tasting. We brewed up a sidecar for you guys, and we're gonna be tasting it. It is
Yep.
a honey processed Burundi from Long Miles Project, and it is a Bourbon variety.
Yeah, I'm gonna fact check you on it. I got the bag here,
Yeah,
so.
sweet. And yeah, Burundi is one of my I think I had about three last year, and it's just a an origin I think is slept on. I think
Heavily.
it's this all the things I've had are kind of really unique in their own ways, but still kind of having similar characteristics. But this one's really, really good. We
Nice.
tried.
I'm glad you enjoy it.
We tried a little bit yesterday, and I think from what I it's
So
so
solid.
sweet.
Yeah,
It's
it's
so
very
sweet.
sweet. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I put on the label like two sweetness remarks.
Yeah.
I normally don't do that because it was
This
just like if it tastes like sugar's been added to the coffee. That's just been my experience of it so far.
There's one coffee that I had from you guys a long time ago. This is back when you guys had the old bags. And it was a Brazil, and it with one of the notes on it was like a vanilla wafer.
Yeah, that was
And
the Bruno Souza Peaberry.
yeah, that one, that thing was it. This tastes almost exactly like it. Around, it's on the around the same realm as it. But
Yeah.
I feel like with this Brenny, it has like a slight funk to it that's really nice. Like it's really pleasant funk, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
You ever
that's
had
interesting.
pleasant
I
funk,
kind
anyone?
of understand. I mean, I kind of
I
understand.
typically don't, but I can see what you're saying. I think that might be something common with honeys that I
Yeah.
noticed.
Yeah, it's really sweet. I get like a lot of root beer kind of and yeah, just like really kind of sweet, maybe a little citrus on the finish, but really
Yeah.
good. I went ahead with the milk beverage.
It's not very like wild or like overly expressive. It's just got this like to me it has the quintessential profile of coffees from that region. It has
Yeah.
that like allspice type of thing, and
Yeah.
I think that might be kind of what you're saying with the root beer. That's really cool that you tried the Bruno Souza Brazil though. He's one of our like long-standing partners. Like we've worked with him for 3 or 4 years in a row.
Oh, sweet.
But yeah, we that was that might have been my favorite offering we've had from him.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, it was awesome. I remember trying it, and it was at the time I think we were super into like crazy processings and fruit forward coffees, and we really didn't take time to explore other options. And I kind of just saw it on the site, and I was like, oh, maybe I'll make this into cold brew. And then I tried it. I think we tried it on espresso, and it was just like super sweet vanilla ice cream, wafers, confectionery sugar. And we were like, this doesn't taste like coffee at all. Like this is the other side of the spectrum. Whereas you usually get people that are like, oh, this doesn't taste like coffee at all. It's very tea-like, fruity. And it's like, this is a completely other side where it's just sugar. And that's all it tasted like. And we were like, this is incredible. It was like
I
waffle
totally
cone
agree.
finish. It was super nice.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's really cool. So were y'all both doing this at that time?
No. So we just started doing this. What? I think we're on month four.
Wow. Yeah, I
Yeah.
guess so.
Month four, I think. So yeah, we just started doing this but we've known each other for that long. I think that was around the year that we kind of met and started really getting into coffee together. So
We got a
Very cool.
job. Yeah, we met each other working at a cafe. And then he's stayed there and I've moved on. Worked at a couple different places, but that's how we met, and then we just were like both really passionate about coffee and just kind of push each other within that, and we kind of each get coffees and we'll try them and talk about them and just like, I don't know,
Yeah.
experiment. It's
That's
cool.
awesome.
Yeah, it's cool to have, like, especially in Cape Girardeau, like having someone that cares about this industry and has like really similar kind of like morals and views on things.
That's my homie. But anyways, but no, so thankfully, I mean, we tried it a long time ago. And it's really been a while since we've had you guys on our bar. But we got three different coffees from you guys. This was one that you put in and sent to us, so we want to thank you for that. And
Yeah,
then the other
absolutely.
one is the Ecuador El Sauce.
Sauce.
El Sauce.
I'm
And
actually drinking that right now, actually.
oh yeah,
So
what are you getting from it?
it's just when I first cupped it, the Coffee Quest is who we got it through. And it was one of two coffees that we got from them, and those were our first two coffees ever working with Coffee Quest. And they sent me like, I don't know, we tried maybe like 15 coffees from them. And the two Ecuador offerings that we have now are the ones that like most stick out to me. And this one is super just fruit, like berry forward for a washed coffee. And it was like, I can remember having tasted a washed coffee that was so
That is
just
crazy. It's a wash.
very expressive.
I agree. I drank it this morning. I brewed a Oria, and I was getting it was it's it is very, very fruity. It's crazy. I wasn't even thinking like but it, I thought it was like I got like a really nice like grilled pineapple almost. Like it was like and it is fruity. I don't know. It blows my mind. I don't know how I guess this year with Ecuador coffee,
Oh
like
yeah, I was just
every
about to
single
say.
time I have one, I'm just like, wow.
I know they're always just like stellar. I'm always impressed by coffees there, and I've been really directing a lot of our focus towards coffees from there. Obviously with like the Pepe coffees. I mean, those were just absolutely top-notch, and
Yeah.
so
It's just one of those origins too that like every time I'm looking through like someone's like roster that they got right now, current offerings, and I see an Ecuador, it never like catches my eye, and I never think to click on it and order it. It's kind of the same thing with Peru that we both experience, where it's like I never think of to order it. Just
I
doesn't
think of
sound
every
like.
time, man. I
But
love
then I'm
Peru.
always like, well, no, go back, because you every time you do this, you have an Ecuador coffee that you're like, oh, I don't know if I'm gonna like it, and then you love it. So they're always super surprising. But then we'll go ahead and start kicking off the episode here. And if you want to just talk a little bit about roasting this Burundi and kind of finding the roast profile for it and kind of what your process is for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Often, I mean, I feel like I've kind of dialed in a certain like small range of profiles for all of our coffees. So almost all our coffees are roasted like really similarly. I don't really distinguish between like an espresso or a filter profile. I've never like claimed that I do omni roast, but I guess you could say that. So I will, when I profile a coffee, I'll try it maybe 3 to 5 different profiles, and mainly focusing on changing the end of the roast, like the development. And so I'll apply like 5 different roast developments, or sometimes 3, and I'll cup them and see how it's presenting. And I feel like in general, what I've sought to bring out in our coffees has been a lot of sweetness. I don't want to impart roast character. I feel like that's kind of obvious. And I mean, that's like not, I mean, everyone would say that probably. No one wants to impart roast character. That's like part of trying to maximize the best expression of the coffee. But I don't necessarily like to roast so light that it's like sacrificing sweetness, and only emphasizing like acidity or clarity. Like I really love vibrant acidity. And some of the roasters I often buy coffee from are ones that emphasize are like luring roasters who emphasize just like high acidity.
Yeah.
Then maybe that's because like ours are not like that, you know, as much. Like they definitely have brightness to them, but they're not like say or something,
Yeah.
you
Right.
know.
100%.
But I buy a lot of say. And
Yeah.
so
Yeah.
I like to find that zone where it's like, okay, it's very sweet and it's easy. It's like easy for somebody to just brew, like to just throw on and not have to be like super complicated with trying to extract it.
Yeah.
Because I think one of the principles behind our operation is trying to be accessible to as many people as possible. And so like introducing people to specialty coffee is important, along with providing something for people who already really appreciate it. And so somebody who's like barely gotten into it doesn't maybe understand, like, if you have a super light roast, you need to let it rest for 3 weeks, and then you need to brew it for like 6 to 7 minutes and like just like really push the thing. A lot of
Right.
people don't understand that. And so I'm not trying to just throw them coffees that require that,
Yeah,
if that makes
absolutely.
sense.
No, 100%.
Well, and it's also you should be able to buy a bag, take it home, and brew it comfortably on whatever you're brewing on. It
Yeah.
shouldn't be the whole like, well, we're gonna have you rest this for a month to get it to peak, and then you're actually gonna want to buy a mellow drip and a tricklet, and you're gonna want to slowly extract and then give it four swirls. Like that's so it's getting into
Yeah.
it, not even just getting into specialty coffee, but sometimes
Yeah.
I find that I get overwhelmed with like, especially like watching Brewers Cup. It's super
Yeah.
awesome. It's super crazy what they're doing out there, and I highly respect it. But for me, I'm always like, okay, this gives me more to learn now. And it's always super exciting. But I always find that I'm intimidated at first because it's something I don't know. But it's also, I like what you said there about how like giving keeping specialty coffee accessible. And it's one thing that I always go back to is that there's never really a solid definition of what that is or what roasters have to do in order to keep it accessible, to keep it approachable. So in your area, you're in Auburn, Alabama, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. War Eagles.
Hey,
And
yeah.
so can you kind of talk about your community that you've built and the specialty coffee scene and what you've kind of gone into like
I
with your
would,
mindset every day?
yeah.
Were you going to say something as well?
I would love, I just want to hear, I would think more of like hearing about how like you got into coffee, and then we can kind of build off of like what you've kind of
Yeah.
like grown into within the community, but I'd love to hear about your kind of story first and
Yeah,
your insight on the
absolutely.
industry.
So I first tasted coffee that would be regarded as specialty coffee in 2014. And it was, what's funny is it was actually one of the like first two memorable coffees that I can like recall was a Long Miles Burundi. And that's just really cool to now be like full circle, like
Yeah,
having a
yeah,
partnership with
yeah.
them, being able to like roast their coffees. And but it was Gitwe Hill Natural, and I just was like blown away by how it tasted. And another one was a natural Ethiopia, which I feel like everybody has that experience, but
Yeah, and
yeah. It was
were those at
definitely.
like cafes or were you brewing yourself or?
It was my neighbor. We were like good friends, and we just lived in this community where like everyone hung out with each other. And he just had a Chemex. He had this Hario hand grinder, and he just was always making coffee, and he was always like trying to get me to try it. And I remember being like, I don't like coffee. Like I remember having that perspective on coffee. And over time, I just started tasting it. Another Rwandan coffee I tried from Huckleberry Roasters in Denver. And then I guess you said St. Louis, right? Is where you're from. Sump was one of the roasters that I like very first tried. And all of those experiences kind of propelled me into just like wanting to drink it all the time. And so there was one shop in our town that was roasting like similarly to those kind of coffees. Mm-hmm. Shout out Prevail Union. I actually ended up working for them for a little while, and I would just go to their shop all the time and just get pour overs, like iced pour overs. Mm-hmm. And they were like, I was in school and at the time at the university, and they were right across the street from campus. And so I just would go there like every day. The owner was so generous to just like talk to me all the time about coffee. Mm-hmm. And this was long enough ago that like experimental processing wasn't around for mm-hmm. real. Like I remember when I first started seeing like anaerobic fermentations come around, and it's just kind of crazy that that hasn't been happening for that long, and yet it has such a widespread, just
like blew up really fast.
Yeah, it really did. And now it's even further into like brute fermentations or infused stuff as well. Like it's just gone bonkers.
Yeah. So I got to do a internship for Prevail's roastery.
Dude,
like as
what?
A
oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So I was in business school, and I studied business administration, and I needed to do an internship, and I asked the owner, Wade, if I could do a internship. And he was like, yeah, sure, no problem. And I just went and just like did stuff at their roastery. I never like learned to roast. I just like helped package or like label or like picked up stuff they needed, but it was all valuable and like helpful.
Yeah, and you're still around it. You're able to ask questions and experience that. So that's really cool.
Yeah. And then I worked for, they opened another shop in the town, like down the way from us, Montgomery. I say down the way, it's like a 40 minute drive, but I commuted and worked at their shop part-time for like a few months. Then, I was about to get engaged to my wife now, and I was like needing to find a more stable job. And so I stopped working in coffee. That was in 2017. In the spring. And so I stopped working in coffee for a whole year, actually probably a year and a half. And then over the summer of 2018, me and my wife were like, we want to do something in coffee. And she kept saying like, you should start your own shop. And at first I was like, no, I don't really want to do that. And then I like started thinking about it more and started, thinking like, oh wow, maybe I could pursue that. And so we started taking steps toward that. We started like contacting building owners and talking to people about rent and like kind of like really putting our foot through the door of trying to make that happen. And just nothing was ever playing out for that to happen. And then I got an opportunity to work at a shop in downtown Auburn. And so that started in August of 2018. And then I worked there until this actually very last week, and that shop ended up closing. Oh, so they like had their last day about a week ago. So I've been working there for 5.5 years.
Wow.
And then so roll forward a bit to the end of 2019. We still like had this desire to do something of our own. And I just realized that over the course of like 2 years, there was a new shop opening in town, like literally every 4 months.
Yeah.
And I just was like becoming saturated, and they were actually all pretty decent.
Okay.
Like
okay,
it was
good.
Just like,
yeah, I was like, that's surprising. I feel like a lot of times like
our town has a really high concentration of shops, and like a number of them are really good. And so I was like, what am I going to do? Just like adding another one of those to this, like it's a really small town. And so something clicked in my mind that nobody knew was like starting to roast. And I just was like, I thought about it I considered it for probably 3 months and was like, I'm going to do it. And so what we did was just I just researched for a while about roast machines, and the one I came up with was the artisan fluid bed roaster. That
Yeah.
it's not the one we use now. We've upgraded since, but it was this it's the same type of roaster. It was just way smaller. It was 3 pound capacity,
Oh my gosh.
which was insanely small.
Yeah. Yes.
And so I bought the roaster February 1st of 2020. And so the month after that, COVID hit.
There it
Yeah,
is.
there it
Yeah.
is. And what happened was the shop I worked at closed, as did everywhere else. And I didn't have a job to work anywhere in town, for approximately 4 months. And so all I had time to do was learn to roast.
Yeah.
And I just bought this 50-pound bag of natural processed Brazil from Sweet Maria's.
Oh
And
yeah.
I just was like, I'm gonna do 1 pound batches until the bag is gone, and I'm gonna learn. And I'm like giving
Wow.
people the coffee all the time.
Please drink
And
this. Please
like
help.
the first probably like 25 batches, it's just like,
Yeah.
nope. It's just
Yeah.
and the interesting thing is that nobody roasts on that kind of machine.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I is it the one I'm scrolling back through the Instagram? Is it the red one?
That was the first one. That was
Okay.
the 3 pound one. And then we've upgraded to a 10 pound, which is still like notably small for most industry standards, but it works for us right now.
Yeah,
And
that's good.
I've actually been already starting to like look into bigger options because we're getting a little bit, I guess,
Which is,
stretched.
there you go.
I'm gonna
Awesome.
move
That's
really quick
awesome
if
to
that's
see.
good.
No,
Yeah.
absolutely, man.
But yeah, we bought that roaster, and it was the other interesting thing is that it was like notably more affordable than like any of the drum options that were like similarly sized.
Right.
So everything drum roaster was like, I don't know, 4 times as expensive. And just one principle that me and my wife wanted to keep to was like, if we did not have to borrow money, we weren't going to. And so, which is sweet. Like even to this day, we've not had to do that with anything about our business. We've just been able to like save up for what we needed and like just get the things that we need to get by, I guess.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But going back to the like learning how to roast on that was just like I talked to a lot of people in the industry. I talked to Scott Rayo. I talked to a few other guys, and all of them just gave feedback that seemed so overwhelming of like, this is gonna take so much for you to get good coffee. And it was just like, oh, like that just feels so not accessible. And they were like being generous. They were not being like, you know, who's this guy trying to talk to us? They were all just like sharing, like, this is all the things you need to. But like, I found it not to be that way with the roaster that I have. And after like 20, 30 batches, was just like, this is like starting to taste pretty decent. And then maybe like 40 batches going, I'm having other people start saying that. And they're like, oh, this is actually pretty good. And then in July of 2020, our shop that I worked at opened back up, and we had been doing a like monthly guest roaster thing for like the past year. And so I like mustered up the courage to ask the owner to let me be a guest roaster for a month. And she just immediately was like, why don't you just be the roaster?
Oh wow. It's like
And she had no reason to do that other than like she just was kind and like I guess she saw that I was really taking it seriously. And like I really was putting in effort to learn how to do it well. And they were a pretty busy shop. Like they were going through probably 70 to 75 pounds a week. And so I went from roasting like 1 pound batches to doing that every week on the 3 pound machine.
Nice.
And so over time, I feel like we just have made a bunch of connections with people, and they've been just generous to bring us on to their shop and like in any capacity. And so that's kind of the beginning and like how it kind of jumped off.
Yeah. I mean, that's awesome to hear. What kind of inspired you to be a roaster, but not only be a roaster, but focusing on those like long-term relationships with producers, and keeping that in mind within like forming the values and ethics of that business? Like how,
yeah.
What kind of led you to wanting to do that?
I feel like, I guess in my heart of hearts, I just was like, these people who produce coffee, like it actually is labor. Like it is work that I have no idea the degree to which it is difficult or strenuous or like taxing on their lives. And I just also hear all the time that like farmers are paid so little. And so to me, it just didn't make sense to just jump in and make this thing about like us having a brand. And like I put on our wholesale document that I like share with every shop that works with us, that's like, when you serve our coffees in your shop, you can be confident that you're contributing to more than just our brand. And that, like, I don't say that from this like arrogant perspective. I really don't. Like I hate the idea of being just this brand that just like we have these copies and like we do all this. And it's like, that's just not the case. Like we will not have coffee if people are not producing it. And I've been looking into the production side of coffee more and more over the past 6 months and just realizing how incredibly difficult it is.
Yeah.
And so I want it to be that I come to these producers and I'm like, I'm here to buy your coffee. And like, it doesn't just perfectly play out with every single coffee we buy. Like sometimes I purchase coffees through importers. They might not continue the relationship. And so, I mean, we've had times where I was like almost 3 years into buying from a producer, and like that relationship got cut off through the importer. We've had other times where it just didn't work out to keep working directly with somebody. But the principle remains that like, if I can get the coffee again, I'm prioritizing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's just like, and one example of that is our newest partnership in Guatemala, with a producer named Orlando Limas. We bought that coffee directly from them through Algrano. One thing I love working with Algrano is that they're not like importers who have just a ton of coffee in these warehouses in the States. They just like have a platform where you find out about producers and you like choose to buy their coffees, and then they like bring them over.
Okay.
And so we bought his Yellow Catswayi last, like I contracted it last April. And then the time came for the season to be producing again like 2 months ago, and I just went ahead and like booked 20 more bags of it.
Yeah,
nice.
Because that's like what it, to me, that is what gives them the assurance.
Right.
Like rather than just being like, I'll see when the sample comes in.
Yeah.
Like I am going to sample it again when it's like ready to ship, but I'm not just like looking to be like scrutinizing it.
Yeah. You're forming a relationship, a true relationship with the producer, and like saying, I see you, I support you, and I want to represent you in everything that you produce. And I think that's really important. And really awesome to see within like the coffee industry. And you know, like that just like undeniable support, and like being able to have that actual like relationship of actually caring. and not just about, you know, what the coffee score is or what it, if it's good
Right.
enough or not.
Yeah, you actually care about that farmer as a person. Who would have thought, right? Like
Yeah.
that it's something that just sounds so simple, but it is when you look into the production side of things in the supply chain, it's quite hard to do, especially if you're working with a middleman in between, like an importing company. But the fact that you've gone out of your way to build these relationships is really awesome. And not only just build relationships with the coffee that they produce, but build the relationship with the farmer and say, "Hey, I'm gonna believe in you 100%. Send me whatever. I'm gonna get 20 bags of it every time." So
Yeah.
that's really awesome.
There are times where I will say, like, to the producer, like, what is ideal for you, like, to buy? Because, and I'm gonna just go ahead and add in, I do care about the taste. So
Yeah, well, of course.
I don't want it to come off like taste doesn't matter, or like I don't care about high quality coffee. But not at the expense of sacrificing a relationship with somebody or like their well-being, if
Yeah.
that makes sense.
No,
Because
100%.
I just know they're gonna have something that I'll want. Like,
Right.
and it's like, it just it doesn't really matter like what it is. I'm just like, okay, maybe next year, like this year with the Chepsungor, you know, the Kenya y'all got. That was our third season buying that Kenya, that same AB lot. And I just got samples from them again. And I'm like, might go with the AA because it was really good, but I'll probably still get the AB. I might get the PB. You know, it's
Right.
like,
Yeah.
I'm really hoping to buy from them again for a fourth season. Like that's kind of what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice. Yeah.
You know it's gonna be quality. But yeah, I understand. It's like obviously you have to care about the taste because it's like you're serving it, but that's
Yeah,
not
and
the only factor.
it's there's a balance.
Yeah.
Like I and it comes like I that's why I need to be making sure I'm roasting it good because it represents that producer. I yeah, so
Yeah, I mean that's awesome, and it's
100%.
also like you it seems like you live by the fact that they've proven to you that their coffee's good, and you don't need them to prove it over and over and over again. Like a lot of roasters are like, you know, we'll taste what happens next year and we'll see. And you're just like, no, I believe in you. Just send the lots, we'll taste them, and it might be something different, but you're at least gonna buy coffee from them. So that's really awesome.
Yeah.
And then talking more about Thankfully as a brand, as a company, where did the name Thankfully come from?
It really was just the desire to have consumers have a heart posture of gratitude and appreciation for the people that produce the coffee. So it's like that's where our value is. Like the people buying the coffee, I hope that's where their value becomes. So I think that, yeah, there are roasters that will just be like their value is cup score and a certain level of quality that has to be maintained. And I'm not just gonna sit here and like bash them. I think that there are myriads of people who drink coffee that love that. And I want to bring a different avenue, of not just being like, oh, don't care about the taste. Like, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying your dollars are going towards somebody, not me.
Yeah,
Like, they're going
absolutely.
towards those producers, and I can keep buying coffee from them because y'all choose to buy this. Or even like people perceiving the price points of coffee and like why they think it's high or they think it's too much. Like, I think that I would love to see that develop and maybe change a bit. And so people
Yeah,
are just
absolutely.
like, the first thing they ask about the coffee is, how much is it? Because it's just like, I can't just explain to you in a breath why it's
Yeah.
$21 and it's not 15.
Yeah.
You know,
Right.
I can sit down and do that individually, case by case, but it's like, I hope that us saying like, thankfully, we're thankful, we're grateful for coffee producers who even allow us to have the coffee. Like that's what the value is. I hope that that will people to shift towards accepting that it does really cost a lot to get coffee.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that, you know, building off of that, that's something that we talk about, try to talk about on our podcast a lot. It's just like wanting people to become educated. You know, a lot of people, coffee is one of the most consumed beverages ever, or like in the whole world. And so it's like people not knowing where it comes from or just not caring about the process that it took to get to them. And I think that's important to like help educate people, like understanding how, first of all, like how hard it is to grow, but then the steps, you know, like even just building a farm to be able to produce high quality coffee takes, you know, 10, 15 years. So understanding how, yet like how, and then having that farmer to have to like deal with having to, you know, it's like, who am I going to sell my coffee to? It's like, I need to find an importer, or if I can get a direct trade with someone, it's like, it's a lot to deal with as a farmer and as a producer. And so it's like understanding that as a consumer, and not only that, or but also like what the roaster has to deal with, you know, transportation, labor, you know, dialing in a roast, getting it to you. I think, and that's within, you know, not only the coffee industry, but as like a consumer. That's within all the products that you consume, you know, in agriculture and different stuff like that, or even just, you know, whether you're going out on the weekend and drinking something, it's like, and wanting to spend $20 on a cocktail, but it's like, why can't you spend, you know, $4 or $5 on coffee?
On a latte that's with well-sourced coffee with
Yeah.
people that put intention behind it.
But so was it cool like working at that cafe and being able to serve your own coffees, and like how was that kind of experience as a, you know, were you a barista there?
Yeah, I went through a few roles. I for a few years was a manager, a few years just a barista. It was a great privilege to be able to do that because we don't have like a lab. We don't have, I mean, I have my home stuff that's pretty like, I guess it's sufficient
Yeah, you
for
have your, yeah.
what I need to do. Like at home, I can cup properly, I can brew properly. So but I don't have an espresso machine, and I've just always had access to one through the shop, and it was a really big privilege. And so I'll add that another shop is opening up in the space in about a week to 2 weeks from now, and I'm gonna continue working for them and also serving our coffee.
That's sweet. That's cool.
So that is such a blessing. And like, it's just like I get to go and see, is this actually good? Like, am I, and not just like, oh, it was a year ago, so I'm like set. It's like, no, every week I'll cup the coffees there from last week's roast and be like, this was underdeveloped, or like, this had a tinge of roast in it. Like, I have to change those things, you
Yes.
know?
No, absolutely. It's like being able to do quality control.
Yeah, and that I'll just add, like roasters aren't perfect.
Yeah.
I feel
No.
like it's so easy to anticipate that, like especially if a roaster has this like high regard in the industry, or they have like a really solid brand, and you just like buy their coffee and you're like, this is so dark. And I'm just I was not expecting that. It's just like they people are actually people that make mistakes. And yeah, that's what I would say. But I'm trying to keep myself accountable to
No.
a certain level of quality.
Absolutely. I kind of am curious on what do you enjoy about like being a barista and being kind of that like last end of the supply chain, like being able to kind of serve like be in serving the coffee.
I absolutely love serving coffee to people. It's something that, I mean, that was, it's been a huge part of my life. And like, I've built ongoing relationships with customers for years. Like the very first people I served in that cafe 6 years ago, I served last week. And it was, they come in every day. It's this couple and they get two caps and one espresso. And they've been doing that for 6 years. And it's just like, there's like 10 to 15 other people like similar situation than as that. And I just love, like, I love everything about coffee service. And I'm like all the way down the rabbit hole of just trying to do it well, like plating with the spoon. Like, I care about the cups that I use. I care about the pitchers that I pour with. Like, I want it to be good. And I care about cleaning the machine. You know, it's
Yeah,
like
no, absolutely, man. I think,
all the stuff.
yeah,
Every little aspect.
we did an episode on our kind of role of a barista, and we touched on this. Just like, I think for me at least, I probably for both of us, but just like, you are the final hands representing the coffee roaster. So you need to make sure that, or the coffee producer. It's like all of these things happened, you know, from farming to importing to roasting. You need to make sure you can't be the weak link of this chain. You can't, you know, you have to make sure all your things are perfect. You know what you're talking about with the cup that you're serving out of, making sure you have a spoon is like, what could go wrong, and how can I make sure that this experience is representing the producer in the best way, like serving this coffee in the most like wonderful way that this person can experience this, like the highest end. And I think that's something that's really motivating to be a barista, you know, to have that privilege to be able to serve it, and to kind of hopefully help guide more people into specialty coffee. And then like realizing, like having that same moment with that Brewundi or with that Natural Ethiopia, like being able to be like, oh, this is coffee. This is like how beautiful it can be, and like bringing people in. That
I
I'm.
love connecting with other baristas from other shops too, in like, especially in town, and just like going to other shops and just having the understanding with baristas that of like, I know what you're doing behind this bar and like what the work that it takes and like not being, again, just like it's critical.
And
Just like finding joy and like being able to go get espresso from somebody and being like, this is great. Like, I love this. And I am, yeah, I'm
I
just.
think it's hard too sometimes, because it's like, it's awesome when you are able to go into a shop and like see that they have intentionality and that they took time out of their day and really care about service. But it's hard because sometimes, you know, you go into a cafe and you get a shot, and it's like under extracted, and the barista that you asked about the coffee didn't really know anything about it. And it's like me saying that I had a bad experience, and then like my friend being like, dude, you're just bougie, like the coffee was fine. Or it's like, oh, it wasn't good enough for you. It's like, well, no, you know, it's like finding that line between being able to kind of hold people accountable, I guess.
There should be accountability, and I will say it has to come from like leadership, and like a shop is gonna, the tone that a shop has is gonna be because of the ownership or like the people in charge setting the tone. And so customers don't see that really. They see the person working and like serving, but if that person isn't equipped to prepare espresso properly, the ownership should be doing something about that. And otherwise it's going to maintain that level of service.
Absolutely. And so kind of what I want to talk a little bit about your social media. I think that's something that's really cool. Even just being able to follow your page, I think I probably for like the last 6 months, I think it's really cool. You share a lot about the coffees that you're cupping or the coffees that you're brewing, like being able to see that, what you're tasting with those say coffees or like what you're experiencing. I think it's really cool, like being transparent within all that you're doing and explaining like really thought out explanations on why you're doing things as a company. And I don't know, that's just something that I really kind of I think is awesome that you do. What kind of goes through like the thought out of being kind of like an outlet on social media?
I feel like I just have these thoughts and I'm like, I gotta tell people this. I'm just
Hopefully someone listens.
like, all right, everyone, I'm about to unload about potato defect on you guys, and you're gonna, like, I don't know, you'll pay attention or you just won't.
Or you won't, yeah.
But I do really want people to pay attention, and I really just, it's like comes back to that being accessible thing. Like somebody made this comment to me recently, and they were like, I feel like you're a people's roaster. And I was like, I think you're right. Like
I'll take
just like I want to engage with people. And I just kind of find it puzzling sometimes that roasters, like all you see about them is their aesthetic or their brand or their boxes or bags. And it's just like they just don't talk to people. And I'm like, okay, maybe it's because they're just really busy and they can't. It's not that like you need to always find something wrong with people. It's just like I want to be accessible to people, and I want to just communicate what I've learned. Because it's just like, again, I'm not only operating for people who have an EK43 in their kitchen.
Right.
You know, it's like
In their
I'm
kitchen. Dude, that's
I
facts, though.
know some. I will say I know some. And I'm not just like I want to operate towards people who are like barely getting into coffee as well. And they're just like, oh wow, this and they just find helpful tips. And so I love talking about tree types, like varieties and different expressions of coffee and like processing and fermentations. And I like to show people that I'm tasting other coffees than my own, because I think it makes you more well-rounded. So
Absolutely.
I've been tasting particularly a lot of say because I really just have a high respect for Lance, who's their owner and green coffee buyer, one of their owners, but he over the past year has had this ongoing email train with me. And he's just literally shared books worth of knowledge with me. And I'm like, I mean, their coffee is in Korea, Italy, Japan. I mean, maybe not
Oh
those
yeah.
specific places. I'm trying
No,
to
but
say
it's
really
worldwide. Yeah.
everywhere. Their coffee is everywhere, and rightly so. I mean, the way in which he has access to buying coffees is just probably unparalleled. And he's just like, I started off asking him about Tipica Mejorado and Sidra because World Coffee Atlas doesn't have those categorized. And I'm just like, oh, I'm a nerd. So I just want to learn, like, what is this? Like,
Absolutely.
why are these two coffee varieties just like taking the whole industry by storm? And he just was like kind to send me this research that he personally has done on them. And then it was just like, I just have these questions after questions after questions. And he just always writes back pages of
That's so
responses.
cool. That's so cool to
That
see.
just showed that goes to show you, anybody that's listening, like if you ever had this impression about, say, anything good or bad, that's more of an impression than you can just see on their Instagram or on their website. It's like he's so generous to share knowledge with somebody like me. And we're like a really tiny roastery. But so I just respect what they do. And so I've been buying a lot of their, not a lot, I've been buying their copies here and there. And like some people have been sending them to me. But yeah, there's a few other roasters like that, that I just kind of follow along what they're doing. And one thing that Lance and I have talked a lot about is just like taste more, like learn how to taste, learn how to taste defects, learn how to taste age, like old coffee, green coffee, I mean. And so I've just been like cupping intensely over the past year, late, maybe like more like 6 months, just really trying to grow my own understanding of those things. And so I think it makes you more diverse when you taste other coffees, like taste coffees on a Loring, taste coffees on a Probat, taste coffees on Manhattan sent me a box and they roast on a Typhoon, which is actually probably the most similar type of roaster that to what we use. But yeah, I just am like always trying to taste coffees.
Yeah. Speaking of that, you put out on your social media just like the big roaster document. And I remember looking, like scrolling, and I saw that post and I was like, dude, this is insane.
Yeah.
Like, it was like all these roasters I've for the most part tried. And it's just cool, like seeing the resemblance of like, oh, that's why, like seeing blank, blank, and blank roast on a Loring. It's like, oh, like when I really think about it, you know, like they kind of had some like similarities, or it's like, or I preferred one of the roast, like Sweet Bloom and someone else on, it's like, oh, I really like their coffees. They're like Ilse and Sweet Bloom. I think those both on Loring's, correct? I can't remember.
Sweet Bloom, to my knowledge, had always been on a San Franciscan.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah.
But somebody like made a correction to that.
Yeah.
And was like, no, Sweet Bloom has something else now. So gotcha. I don't know.
But anyway, it was just really cool knowledge to see. And it's like you would have never known. Or I would have never known that. And so it's cool to even look back and see, like, have I ever tasted coffee that was roasted on one of these machines, and like being able to compare that. And again, like what you're talking about, I think for me, I don't work in the industry. And so what I've been trying to do is just like, all I really can do is just taste coffee, you know, and, you know, being able to build my palate. And you know, that's something I've been trying to focus on. And I will go back probably to that, post every 2 weeks and just look at it and see like who I can order from next and compare kind of different roasters and stuff, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, that was another thing that was one of those, the idea just literally, it just like hit me. And I was just like, I feel like this would be interesting. And I already knew like a bunch of those on the list, but I definitely had to go and find out a number of them. But it was just one of those, like, I feel like this is, I'm just being nerdy right now.
Right.
Like I literally had no clue that people would be so, it would be so like resonating with people. I was just like, all right, I'm posting this because I'm just a nerd.
It's like, I would think this is cool, so I'm going to put it out.
Yeah, and then, I mean, you got a lot of engagement with it. Do you kind of want to talk about, like, what that kind of felt like?
Honestly, it might have felt like it was too much.
Really? Yeah.
I remember saying, after that, maybe, like, a week went by, and I just had constant messaging, and I was like, I need to not do another one of those.
Yeah, not doing that again.
And I'm just like, I just don't really need it to be like that.
Yeah.
It's just like, I'm glad that people found it helpful, but it was like, I just don't need it to be something that's big.
This was just for you, did it just for you, and just to kind of throw out there.
Probably like a handful of people I know were going to be like, oh, this is sick. And I kind of was like, yeah, they'll probably think this is sick. And because I already talk with them and we're just all nerds.
Yeah. And then, you know, just And then
So
out
yeah.
of it, your top comment is Lance Hedrick. So that's crazy.
Yeah, that was funny.
So going kind of going towards the end of the podcast here, but I just wanted to talk about where you kind of see the industry going, and where would you kind of like it to go, or like want people to focus on more, or focus want like in kind of businesses to focus on, or.
That's a good question. It's just so diverse that I don't know that it's like traveling in one direction. It's just because people can do whatever they really want to do as roasteries or like coffee companies, because there's just such a mass amount of people drinking coffee and they all have such different preferences. And so you have people like Black and White who have just the slew of crazy processing that are just like super wild, and then you have the Says and the Flower Childs that are like looking for pristine representations of variety and processing. Like, it's just, and then there's like 20 other types of things going on, so
Yeah,
it's like
right.
everyone's doing something different, or like taking a different approach. I kind of hope, so I don't know that I have something to say about where I want the roasting industry to go. I kind of could say again about consumers maybe, and just like hoping that people who buy coffee to drink either in their homes or their workplaces, that they would value coffee producers. And because I think there's so many barriers to that. Because coffee is just seen as something that we should have. Like, it is so accessible in other ways. Like, it's so accessible, commodity coffee. It's just too accessible. Like, if I go down the street to the store, there's just like hundreds of coffees on the shelf that are, they're all commodity grade and they're cheap. And like, people, mass amount of people think that that is what coffee is, and to them it doesn't make sense to buy a coffee bag for 15, 18, $22, because they don't understand the degree to which that coffee is different and why. Like, I hope that that's where coffee consumption can go. And
Absolutely.
I think even you guys and Pepe touched on that in your in his episode, which I really appreciated listening to. Like, that was my first time seeing you guys do this.
Yeah,
And
we appreciate
yeah,
that. That was
appreciate
a
it. That's
crazy episode that
we
we're so lucky to be able to talk to him. And it was
yeah.
just kind of like an out of the whim, like, we're starting this podcast. In no way, shape, or form did we think our like fifth episode ever was gonna be with like n not only of being able to talk to a farmer, but Pepe,
But
like
Pepe of all
one of
people,
the
yeah. Yeah,
Biggest
most
producer in the
notable
world.
coffee
Biggest,
producer in
exactly.
2023.
Exactly. It's
Yes.
like, what? And
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it was
He's
just crazy.
great. He's just such a kind soul. And
Yeah, I still think about, stuff that we talked about in that episode, and I think it's just wonderful to be able to talk to, not only like being able to talk to Pepe, but just like more and more. I think with this podcast, like being able to talk to more and more people. And like thanking you for doing this, and just being able to build information for people to hopefully like gravitate to and listen to and understand the different parts of this industry and the different kind of, I guess, like takes and visions people have of this industry and perspectives, I think is really important. But it all kind of follows along the same like morals and passion and care that people put into coffee, and I think it makes it easy for people to fall in love with and appreciate, and hopefully we can just keep building. Our following isn't
It
crazy,
ain't big.
but just hoping to have just that one impact on anyone. So it's cool to hear that you liked that episode.
Yeah. Well, and then also
Absolutely.
going off of where you want the industry to go, where do you see thankfully in the future, and where what do you hope can come from it in the future?
We're just kind of in a phase of searching for partnerships with coffee shops, and just trying to expand in that way. We've recently started working with a number of shops in Atlanta area,
Oh,
so
awesome.
and North Carolina, like Asheville area.
Which I
And
was
so,
just there.
yeah, I'm excited about that. And people have just been so, like, it's been so cool to, like, I'm sending samples out to people and having dialogue with them and just hearing things like, this version of El Sauce is the best one I've ever had, or, things like that. It's really cool because we're like comparatively a really small roaster. But I just don't feel like limited by that, I guess. Like
No, yeah,
coffee, I just like.
absolutely. I mean, even just talking about your past, like being able to do, what was it? It's like 70 pounds of coffee a week on a 3 pound roaster. Like,
Yeah.
that's insane. That's
But
insane.
if you got it, where there's a will, there's a
Yeah,
way. And that
absolutely.
seems like a core of your business, and you can see it too. You can always see
Yeah.
when people put intention and quality and their true passions into a project, and it comes through in every way, within your website, your packaging, your social media, the tasting of your coffee. It's all incredible. So you've done a really fantastic job.
Thank you so much.
Course.
And yeah, it's like, as somebody who roasts coffee, like I want to just roast it really good, and I want to roast what is good. So like we structure our menu based on long-term partnerships, but that can like diverge into different avenues. Like there's more like affordable coffees that I'll buy 20 bags of, and then there's like the Pepe coffees that you just get a little bit of, and it's like, I've never tasted anything this good. And I've told him that, it's like there's when they came out with the list of like who's gonna be nominated for the producer, I was like, Pepe, you're definitely getting that.
it has to be.
But and so that like I tasted his coffee first from Hydrangea, and a friend, shout out Carl, he sent it to me. And I just was like, this is just incredible. It's just that feeling of like, I gotta get that. Like I gotta get my I gotta be able to buy that and put my own roast on it.
I think that's awesome too, like hearing that, 'cause talking to Pepe, he's like just being able to sh like he likes doing those smaller lots, like being able to share, this extremely high quality, like really super unique coffee. And it's cool hearing that, that coffee was sent to you. It was literally shared to you. And
Yes.
that's
Shout
something
out.
that's really cool. That's awesome. And that's something I try to do, with tasting like any coffee that I'm like, wow, this is insane. Like I'll invite my roommates in, I'll do something out. Me and Caleb were planning right
Yeah, I was about to
now.
say, he'll shoot me a text and be like, "You gotta freaking try this thing." And I'm like, "I'm on the way." But
That's
yeah, that's
awesome.
super cool to hear.
So yeah, I guess we're just hoping to keep like making more relationships with shops and just looking for opportunities to provide great coffee to shops and like give them a reason for wanting to keep doing that, like with us. And not only just being like, hey, let me just get a feature, but like, hey, I really want to be a great partner to you. And I want to know like how this coffee is doing in your shop, and I want to know how it could be made more ideal for your situation. So yeah, that's like kind of what our focus is these days. Is just like coffee shop partnerships and still figuring out how to buy coffee. Like how there's like, I want to, we have relationships, and I'm thankful to have like relationships that are going into their fourth year with, mm-hmm. with coffee producers. And I'm also equally like seeing and finding new ones.
Yeah.
Like we're next month, we're getting 3 new churrosos.
Mm-hmm.
No. Which will be, yeah.
That's
yeah.
exciting.
That is the response that is adequate. That's the response I'm having.
That's awesome. Every really single good. One I've had has been so unique and like not like kind of had like a similar characteristic, but like every single I've only had 3.
Yeah, we've had 3 because we did 2 seasons of Leaderboard, and then we just got one in from Prodigal.
No, I had one from Upshot too.
So then we've each had 3.
Yeah.
Each time I'm just like, what? It brings me right back to the first time I had my aha moment with coffee, where I'm just like, mm-hmm. what is this? How can I get more of it? And I need to learn all about this right now.
Yeah. So it's very unexplored. And like, again, Lance has been working with them with Say, and has probably like pioneered that. Mm-hmm. And so what you're seeing now is a number of roasters starting to offer them, but it's been like mostly just Lance having access to the ones that are from Urau.
Yeah.
And we just stumbled upon a partnership with Unblended Coffee.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they, what was so cool was that I just reached out to them because I was like, I got to get my hands on some of this. Like, I just have tasted it enough times to be like, this is, I like it better than Pink Bourbon.
Yes.
Which
is a wild thing to say.
Yeah. We thought Pink Bourbon was the top of the top.
Yeah. And so I reached out to them because I saw they were doing it. They were working with producers in Urau that produce churroso. Mm-hmm. And they immediately responded. And this guy calls me, Michael. Shout out, Mike. And he goes, hey, dude, I'm like in Atlanta. Like, that's where I'm based. Like, why don't I just roast you the samples and drive them over? We'll cup them. And so we did it. Wow. And he brought like, I think 7 different ones, and we selected 3 of them.
That's awesome.
Like just on
That's
the spot.
So cool. That's so cool.
And that's incredible.
I think they're like, they just arrived to the port in South Carolina. So I think next month I'm doing another feature with Pull and Pour. Mm-hmm. So we're doing a set of 2 of them.
Ooh.
And so y'all be on the lookout for that.
Will.
Yeah, everybody should be on the lookout. Morning. Yeah, we'll be looking on Monday morning, waiting for that text.
It'll be like at least the middle of May, maybe 3rd week of May.
Awesome. Sweet. Well, if you're not signed up for Pull and Pour Coffee, get signed up. I mean, if you haven't had a reason, now you do.
Speaking of St. Louis.
Shout out Andrew.
Shout out Andrew, yeah.
Alrighty. Well, is there anything else you would want to add towards the end of the episode?
I don't think so. I think that's basically all I got. If people are nerds like me, you should reach out and we'll talk about coffee. Because I want to be accessible to people and want people to like to just ask questions about brewing.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
Ask questions about processing. Like I'm always trying to have those conversations. So
be curious.
Yeah, be curious. Stay curious.
Stay curious. All right. Well, thanks again so much.
Guys, check out Coffee Thankfully on Instagram, and then check out their website thankfullycoffee.com to order some insane coffees that are gonna blow your mind. So yeah,
absolutely.
Thank you, Alex.
Yeah, of course.